for showing up for queer and trans youth today. And let me ask you to keep showing up for queer and trans youth, because they really need you. Thank you.
And that was a panel discussion from SFU Public Square on sexual orientation and gender identity, known as SOGI. And I want to thank SFU Public Square for sharing that audio with us and enabling us to share it with you.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
This fight is about more than just our financial rules and regulations. This fight is about more than just Democrat versus Republican politics. This fight is about hardworking people versus the billionaires who want to squeeze more and more and more money out of them.
As President Trump hands more power to Elon Musk, we look at how the world's richest man could personally profit from shutting down the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, among other agencies. Then, are we sleepwalking into autocracy? Is Trump embracing the authoritarian handbook of Hungary's far-right leader, Viktor Orban? And we talk to the British-Pakistani writer Tariq Ali, as Trump repeats his threat to take over Gaza and displace the entire Palestinian population.
Some of us were naive enough to imagine that capitalism was about competition. It's actually about hegemony and who rules the world. And that effectively is what Trump is doing. We can do what we like. No one can stop us. Who can stop us?
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has threatened to renew Israel's attacks on the Gaza Strip, drawing fear among Palestinians and condemnation from world leaders. On Tuesday, Netanyahu delivered this ultimatum to Hamas.
The decision that I passed unanimously in the cabinet is this. If Hamas does not return our hostages by Saturday noon, the ceasefire will end, and the military will return to intense fighting until Hamas is finally defeated.
Netanyahu's threat comes after repeated Israeli violations of the terms of its ceasefire deal with Hamas. Gaza's health ministry said Tuesday 92 Palestinians have been killed and 822 wounded in direct targeting, they said, by the Israeli military since January 19th, when the ceasefire went into effect. Palestinians say Israel's granted access to just a small fraction of the humanitarian aid and fuel it pledged to allow into Gaza. On Tuesday, the United Nations estimated more than $53 billion will be required to rebuild Gaza and end its humanitarian catastrophe. President Trump has repeated his claim that the United States is preparing to take control of the Gaza Strip and own it while permanently displacing the territory's entire population of more than 2 million Palestinians. Trump made the comments as he hosted Jordan's King Abdullah for talks on Gaza at the White House Tuesday.
We're going to have Gaza. We don't have to buy. There's nothing to buy. We will have Gaza.
What does that mean?
No reason to buy. There is nothing to buy. It's Gaza. It's a war-torn area. We're going to take it.
After meeting with Trump, King Abdullah wrote in a statement, quote, I reiterated Jordan's steadfast position against the displacement of Palestinians in Gaza and the West Bank. This is the unified Arab position, the king wrote. Meanwhile, the Egyptian president, Abdel Fattah al-Sisi, has postponed a planned visit to Washington, D.C., scheduled for next week, after Trump threatened to cut off aid to Jordan and Egypt unless the countries agree to receive the Palestinians expelled from Gaza. A senior Egyptian diplomat told the New Arab newspaper, any cut in U.S. aid would threaten Egypt's 1979 peace treaty with Israel. The family of Dr. Hassam Abu Safia, the director of Northern Gaza's Kamel Adwan Hospital, confirmed he was finally granted a visit with his attorney nearly 2 months after he was abducted and detained by Israeli forces. In a statement, the family described Dr. Abu Safiya's accounts of severe abuse and torture by Israeli soldiers, including 24 days of solitary confinement before his transfer to Ofer prison. His family said he's only given one meal a day. Israel has not filed any charges against Dr. Abu Safiya. In a statement, his family writes, quote, "He urges the world to help secure his release and the release of all detained healthcare personnel from all hospitals. They must be protected, their rights ensured, and they should receive care and be released as soon as possible," they said. President Trump signed an executive order Tuesday ordering massive cuts to the U.S. federal workforce, with a team lead from the Department of Government Efficiency assigned to each federal agency to oversee firings and new hires. Trump's order gives even more power to Elon Musk and his Doge operation in what Democrats and legal scholars have condemned as an unconstitutional power grab by the world's richest man. On Tuesday, Democratic lawmakers joined federal workers for a protest on Capitol Hill demanding congressional action. This is Everett Kelly, president of the American Federation of Government Employees.
We are here today to send a message, a loud and clear message to our senators and our representatives here on Capitol Hill. And the message is this: save the civil service and save the country.
On Tuesday, Elon Musk and President Trump spoke to reporters from the Oval Office. Elon Musk standing alongside President Trump, who remained seated at the Resolute desk. It was the first time Musk had taken questions about his DOGE operation since Trump tasked him with slashing trillions of dollars in federal spending. Musk repeatedly rejected reporters' assertions that DOGE operates in deep secrecy.
So all of our actions are maximally transparent. In fact, I don't think there's been, I don't know of a case that where an organization has been more transparent than the DOGE organization.
The White House said Tuesday Musk is serving as an unpaid special government employee, and therefore his financial disclosure report is not required to be made public. The White House has also worked to shield Musk's operation from open records laws, including the Freedom of Information Act, by invoking the Presidential Records Act, which would see DOGE records kept secret, sealed, until 2034. The New York Times reports there are more than 32 continuing investigations, pending complaints or enforcement actions into Musk's six companies across at least 11 federal agencies that have been affected by the Trump administration's purge of civil servants. Musk is also a major beneficiary of NASA and the Department of Defense funds, with SpaceX reporting it's received about $22 billion in government contracts. On Tuesday, Musk repeatedly denied his vast business holdings presented a conflict of interest.
If you have received billions of dollars in contracts from the Pentagon, and the president's directing you to look into the Department of Defense, is that a conflict of interest?
Yes, which we definitely need to do and are going to do at the president's request.
Does that present a conflict of interest for you?
No, because you'd have to look at the individual contract and say, first of all, I'm not the one, you know, filing the contract. It's people at SpaceX.
Musk spoke with his four-year-old son, X, that's X-A12, sitting on his shoulders, often putting his fingers in Elon Musk's ears. The White House has fired Paul Martin, the inspector general for the U.S. Agency for International Development. Martin's abrupt termination Tuesday came a day after his office warned in a scathing report that moves by Trump and Elon Musk to defund USAID has put nearly $500 million worth of food aid at risk of spoilage as it sits idle in ports, ships and warehouses. Like Trump's purge of 17 other inspectors general last month, Martin's firing appeared to violate a law requiring the administration to alert Congress 30 days in advance. A federal judge has issued a temporary restraining order preventing the National Institutes of Health from implementing severe cuts to research funding imposed by the Trump administration. This comes after 22 states, including Massachusetts, filed a lawsuit Monday arguing the move would eviscerate studies into treatments for cancer, Alzheimer's, heart disease, and other chronic conditions. The top Democrat on the Senate Judiciary Committee has accused Trump's pick to head the FBI, Kash Patel, of committing perjury during his confirmation hearing. When Patel testified, he didn't know about the Trump administration's purge of top officials at the FBI. This is Senator Dick Durbin speaking during Senate debate on Tuesday.
According to my whistleblower sources, Mr. Patel is receiving information from within the FBI from the director's advisory team. Mr. Patel then provides direction to Stephen Miller, who relays it to the acting Deputy Attorney General Beauvais. It is unacceptable for a nominee with no legal or current role in government to personally direct the unjustified and potentially illegal firings of dedicated, nonpartisan professionals at the FBI. If these allegations are true, then Mr. Patel may have committed perjury before the Senate Judiciary Committee.
The Senate Judiciary has scheduled a Thursday vote on whether to recommend Kash Patel's confirmation to the full Senate. In Memphis, Tennessee, shocking new surveillance video shows four masked men in plain clothes hauling away restaurant workers in what city officials later confirmed was a raid by Immigration and Customs Enforcement. A social media account for restaurant owner Taconganas, Memphis, posted the video online with the caption, "We don't know if the men you see in the video work for ICE or for someone else. You'll see they have no uniforms, do not show any badge or ID, and did not leave any identifying information or paperwork. If not for our security cameras, we would not even know this happened," unquote. This comes amidst Trump's mass deportation efforts and after prosecutors in at least three states have in recent weeks charged people with impersonating immigration law enforcement officers. The cases include a South Carolina man arrested for kidnapping a Latinx driver following a racist confrontation, and a North Carolina man accused of using the false threat of deportation to extort sex. Meanwhile, more than two dozen Christian and Jewish groups filed a lawsuit in federal court Tuesday seeking to prevent ICE agents from conducting raids at houses of worship. In the Democratic Republic of Congo, soldiers with the M23 insurgent group on Tuesday launched heavy attacks on Congolese army forces, breaking a two-day pause in fighting. M23 is now advancing toward Bukavu, another key city in the eastern DRC. Many residents were forced to flee amidst fears of an imminent M23 attack, with schools and stores shut down.
Our school was badly hit. In fact, I don't know if you've seen the other side. Even the buses that transported students were damaged. When you arrive here, you wonder, will life ever return to normal? Will the children be able to focus on their lessons after everything they've witnessed? The bomb fragments, the destruction, seeing where the bullets landed? Will the students truly settle back into their routines?
U.S. school teacher Mark Fogel has arrived in the United States after his release from a Russian prison following 3.5 years in captivity after he was charged with carrying a small amount of medical marijuana. President Trump welcomed Fogel to the White House Tuesday night and said Russia would free another U.S. prisoner today without giving their name. Asked what Russia got in exchange, Trump said a fair deal, but would not elaborate. The White House blocked a journalist with the Associated Press from covering Trump's signing of a new executive order Tuesday after AP refused to refer to the Gulf of Mexico as the Gulf of America. AP senior vice president and executive editor Julie Pace said in a statement, quote, "Limiting our access to the Oval Office based on the content of AP speech not only severely impedes the public's access to independent news, it plainly violates the First Amendment," unquote. AP Stylebook is used by journalists and other institutions worldwide. The U.S. Geological Service has officially adopted Gulf of America, as have Apple and Google Maps, when searched by users in the U.S., caving to Trump's executive order signed on his first day in office. And President Trump has directed the Treasury Department to stop producing new pennies. The proposal is raising further alarm on executive overreach, as it's Congress which authorizes the manufacturing of coins and oversees U.S. Mint's operations. Elon Musk Doge has also lashed out at the cost of production, estimated about 3 cents per penny. Meanwhile, Trump has ordered the Environmental Protection Agency to revert to previous standards for light bulbs, as well as toilets, showers, and other appliances that consume water. During his first term, Trump gutted longstanding water efficiency EPA rules, which were then brought back by the Biden administration. The changes came after Trump in 2019 claimed Americans were having to flush their toilets 10 times, 15 times, as opposed to once, and complaints by Trump that showerheads didn't have enough pressure. Trump's also issued an executive order banning the federal use of paper straws, saying they don't work, and that he wants his government to exclusively use plastic. The transition back to plastic straws has drawn alarm from ocean conservationists worldwide. Researchers estimate some 15 million tons of plastic enter the world's oceans each year. This is Komang Sudiartha, founder of an anti-litter group in Bali, Indonesia.
I'm very disappointed. An advanced country should be able to give a good example. They should be able to limit trash production. But if they're back to using plastic straws, they're going backwards. The impact is, in countries like ours, we'll have to double down on how to reduce our own trash, especially these plastic straws.
And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Democracy Now!'s Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
President Trump signed an executive order Tuesday to give more power to the world's richest man, Elon Musk. He's been leading the effort to dismantle numerous government agencies, including USAID and the Commercial Financial Protection Bureau. Musk heads the newly established DOGE, Department of Government Efficiency, which claims it's looking at ways to reduce government waste. But a new investigation by the New York Times reports Musk has been targeting many of the federal agencies and officials who've been engaged in investigations of Musk's own multiple companies, including Tesla, SpaceX, Neuralink, and the social media platform X. The Times reports, quote, at least 11 federal agencies that have been affected by those moves have more than 32 continuing investigations, pending complaints, or enforcement actions into Mr. Musk's six companies, unquote. On Monday, hundreds of protesters rallied outside the offices of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau after Trump and Musk moved to shut down the agency's headquarters and cut off its funding. This is Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts, who's credited with creating the CFPB.
Look, these damn billionaires are making their moves right out in the open. Look at Elon, please. No, just look. He invested $288 million to buy an election for Donald Trump. And now he is right here to collect on that investment. Elon Musk owns X, which has been losing money like crazy. So Elon has a plan for a new payment platform called X Money. Elon wants X Money to touch every part of your financial life. But Elon has got a problem. The financial cops. The CFPB is there to make sure that Elon's new project can't scam you or steal your sensitive personal data. So Elon's solution, get rid of the cops, kill the CFPB.
That was Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts speaking at a protest outside the closed headquarters of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. We're joined right now by Julie Margetta Morgan, the former Associate Director for Research and Monitoring and Regulations at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. She left a few weeks ago. Welcome to Democracy Now! It's great to have you with us, Julie. Can you explain, I mean, all the information that's coming out right now? First of all, what the CFPB does, who it does it for, and what Elon Musk has to gain. This week, all the workers got a stop work order, and they closed the headquarters. And, oh, let me just say one other thing. Sure. Didn't Elon Musk say on his social media platform X, he just put out CFPB RIP with a tombstone?
Thank you for having me today, Amy. You know, this is really critical for all Americans. The CFPB is the place where Americans could go when they were scammed by a payday lender, or when they couldn't get inaccurate information taken off their credit report, or when big banks like Wells Fargo were opening fake accounts in their name. And the CFPB again and again delivered for American families. This, over its entire history, the CFPB has returned $21 billion to American families. So, you know, this is a little agency that was punching well above its weight. And then just a few days ago, you know, Donald Trump and Elon Musk took control and shut the agency down. So we went from a place where, you know, in the last week before Trump took power, the CFPB was ordering big companies to return millions of dollars to consumers, to a place where the agency is doing nothing at all. And you raised the role of Elon Musk here. I think this is a fact that we really have to focus on. Elon Musk himself wants to run a payments company. He has said from the start that he plans to turn X into essentially a bank. And he's taken steps in that direction in the last few weeks, including a partnership with Visa. The thing that stands in his way is having strong regulators who will make him play by the same rules as every other bank. Luckily, he has access to the entire federal government, and he's able to simply shut those regulators down. So the actions over the last few weeks have been incredibly bad for individual, everyday Americans, but incredibly good for Elon Musk's pocketbook.
And for those people who are not familiar, could you talk a little bit about the battle to get the to create the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau only in the aftermath of the financial meltdown of 2008? Did the Obama administration move to create it? But it's always faced enormous hostility, hasn't it, from the financial, especially from the financial community?
Yeah, that's right. I think it's incredibly important to know that the CFPB was born out of a financial crisis that started in the mortgage markets. So before the 2008 financial crisis, we didn't have a cop on the beat watching what mortgage servicers, particularly non-bank mortgage servicers, were doing. And as a result, we ended up in a massive financial crisis that took us years to dig out of. President Obama, Elizabeth Warren, and others worked together to create the CFPB. It was created in a bipartisan fashion, but it's had a target on its back from the start. And, you know, particularly when I was at CFPB, when we went out and talked to consumers around the country, there was nothing partisan or controversial about the CFPB when it came to the work that it was delivering for Americans. The only place where CFPB is really controversial is in Washington, D.C., with big bank lobbyists and tech company lobbyists. So from the start, they've had a target on CFPB. I think this is one more step in their plan to get rid of the agency, and they've never had more power to be able to dismantle it.
And in terms of some of the biggest achievements, could you enumerate some of them for our listeners?
Sure. So, you know, CFPB has achieved some really big achievements for individual consumers. I think our crackdown on Wells Fargo that ended their campaign of issuing fake accounts in people's names is a really big one. But just in the last couple of years, we've had some really big wins for families, including a credit card late fees rule that limited late fees from $30 to $15, a rule that limited overdraft fees to $5. And I think really importantly, taking medical debt off of people's credit reports. So in the time that I was at CFPB, we did a lot of research on the impact of medical debt. And we found that a lot of the medical debt that was being reported on people's credit reports was inaccurate. And then people were being hounded by debt collectors over debts that they didn't owe. So these actions are incredibly consequential for American families. And now they're all being put at risk by Donald Trump and Elon Musk's agenda.
Let's go to Elon Musk. In this very odd news conference, that President Trump sitting at the Resolute desk and Elon Musk standing next to him with his child on his shoulders held. This is Musk.
Democracy. This may seem like, well, are we in a democracy? Well, if you don't have a feedback loop, okay, we'd have to, if you sorry. Tell you, gravitas can be difficult sometimes. So if there's not a good feedback loop from the people to the government, and if you have rule of the bureaucrat, if the bureaucracy is in charge, and then what meaning does democracy actually have?
So, Julie Margetta Morgan, if you could respond to what Elon Musk said at that point, his child just standing next to him.
I think it's incredibly bold for him to stand there and suggest that he's creating a feedback loop between the people and the government. The CFPB itself was a feedback loop between the people and the government. Individuals could actually file a complaint on CFPB's website and have the certainty that the agency was going to, you know, look into that complaint and not only resolve it for them individually, but also look at broader actions by the companies that people complained about and take action through our enforcement or supervision divisions. So Elon Musk is actually doing the opposite of what he's claimed. He's shutting down those feedback loops for people, and he's doing it for his own personal gain.
So, Julie Margetta Morgan, as we wrap up, at this point, how can the CFPB, can it be resurrected? And if you could finally comment on Russell Vogt, the head of the OMB, who was one of the chief architects of Project 2025, how that fits into the shuttering of CFPB.
Yes, Russell Vogt is in charge of the CFPB right now, and he's taking an axe to all of the pieces of CFPB that have been the most helpful for consumers. To your original question, it's not too late for CFPB. I expect that we'll see action in the court. I believe we've already seen a few cases filed here, because I think it's just really important to know that the actions they're taking are illegal. You know, the CFPB is responsible to Congress for completing certain activities, including having a robust supervision program that's kind of like the cop on the beat inside of the largest institutions. And so, you know, as much as they're doing the best that they can to dismantle CFPB right now, these actions are illegal, and I expect we'll see the court step in.
Julie Margetta Morgan, thanks so much for being with us. Former Associate Director for Research, Monitoring, and Regulations at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. She left a few weeks ago. Coming up, are we sleepwalking into autocracy? Stay with us.
The shrimp boats from the time that he was grown, and he scrimped and saved and bought himself a trawler of his own. He was rough and he was ready, and he drank when he was home, and he made his family's living on the Gulf of Mexico. He was check 20 years to Texaco. When he died, we spread his ashes on the Gulf of Mexico. He was rolling. He
of Mexico by Steve Earle. Trump renamed the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America in an executive order and declared February 9th Gulf of America Day. This week, Google and Apple changed the name on their maps for U.S. viewers, while other sources for online maps have not followed suit. And AP says it was blocked from covering the Oval Office because it did not change the name in its AP guidebook from Gulf of Mexico to Gulf of America. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. We turn now to an expert on autocracy who says the Trump administration's moves to gut the federal government, shape the judiciary, and punish critics are all following a well-known playbook, not just the right-wing policy blueprint known as Project 2025, but the autocratic playbook of Hungary's authoritarian president.